Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The moment that you walked into that door back there and sat down in the pew, two sermons began. The sermon I am preaching now is tied together with everything that has come before it and what will yet come after it. The opening hymn, the invocation, the confession of sins and absolution, the readings, the font, Jesus' cross, his body and blood, his benediction. The other sermon, not so much. Right now, at more than any other time during the service, the two sermons, or maybe we should rather say the two different preachers, are locked in a violent fight, and you are in the very middle of this fight. I've got you for the opening, for the first few minutes, but very quickly eyes start to get heavy, ears start to hear other sounds out there, your mind wanders. Then there's that heavy piece of law. You are a sinner. You deserve death and hell. And the intellect is engaged, but you begin to argue against that law, trying to justify yourself and comfort your pricked conscience. I'm not so bad. Not as bad as many others. Sure, I've done wrong, but who hasn't? And content for the moment that you have justified yourself, it's time to check the watch again. Time to look at the phone, the text, that email. Because after all, those things are all more important, right? Where and when is lunch? How long is this sermon going to be anyway? I'm hungry. I've got you for the opening. But the devil is working hard with his distractions, with the evil thoughts that arise in your own hearts, to preach his own sermon into your eyes and ears and into your hearts. You see, he doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you to focus on or to receive Jesus. And so he's going to do everything within his power to make sure that you don't. Which sermon will win out this hour? Which will command this holy day? Which will conquer the heart? Which will go on into the week? Which will give you a good conscience and a quiet mind and bring fulfillment and peace? Which will leave you fed, like the woman in our text? Or with nothing, like so many others who aren't interested in mere crumbs? Which will leave you rejoicing like the man who has his ears open and his tongue loosed? Which will send you back into the life of sin and death? One of these two sermons promises healing and quiet and a conscience that is at peace with God, and only through simple words. The other one promises a lot more: food, entertainment, freedom, excitement, riches, happiness, pleasure, and not as some happy thought or distant, faraway, lofty concept, but tangibly in your flesh. But only one of these sermons can give what it promises. The other promises that which it cannot give. So which of the sermons are you listening to? Have I already lost you? I'm sure that you've wondered, just as I have, what it felt like for the man who couldn't hear and couldn't speak. He could see with his eyes as the crowds were all gathering and following this man as they sat and listened to him speak. There had to be excited faces among the crowd, plenty of talk and questions and answers that he was giving. He could see the scrolls of the Old Testament unrolled, but he couldn't hear any of it. Then all of a sudden, his friends were pushing him out the door, dragging him along to another event which he couldn't understand and in which he couldn't possibly participate. He could see, but he couldn't talk. He couldn't understand. He couldn't even ask for any explanations. If I was that man, it would be pretty hard not to be bitter, looking at what everyone else had, but not what I had. It'd be hard not to dream about and wish for all those things those other people had access to, things that they often take for granted. It must have been hard even for a deaf man not to hear the devil's whispers about how God has forsaken you, how he doesn't care about you like he cares about the rest, how this God that you can't see and hear, whose existence you can't prove, simply isn't going to come and help you. It must have been torturous for this man. But then all of a sudden, Jesus is standing there directly in front of him. And so that this man would know that Jesus was talking only to him, Jesus grabbed the man and took him away off by himself. It was to be a sermon just for this man. It's harder to be distracted by the impotent devil and his false promises when Jesus is there talking directly at you. When the God that the devil wants you to think doesn't exist or isn't willing or able to help you is standing right there with you alone. But then it gets even more personal for this man. Jesus reaches up and puts his fingers into the man's ears. He spits on the ground and then he reaches in and he touches the man's tongue. If that isn't personal, I don't know what is. The man can't ignore this sermon. He has been brought into the midst of it, whether he wants to be or not. The other sermon is still there being preached. The devil is trying his best to keep the man ignorant of this Jesus, but he's failing miserably. The man knows that Jesus understands his exact problems. He can't hear, he can't speak. Maybe what the man doesn't know is that Jesus also understands his sin. But Jesus knows all of it. He looks up to heaven with his eyes, and surely the man must have been following Jesus' eyes at this point. And then he sighs. Not a sigh of regret that he can't do anything to help the man, but a sigh of understanding that he knows. He knows exactly. He hurts for this man. He understands the bitterness, the weakness, the fallenness, the feeling of rejection, the loneliness, the despair. The eyes can't tell the whole story, of course, but for this man, that's all he's got. And Jesus can show him his salvation just as he has spoken it to others. You can bet that the man was watching Jesus carefully. He must have even watched his lips as he mouthed that one word, Ephatha. Aorist passive imperative, in case you're wondering. Be opened. Not that the man would open these things himself, but that God would do it. This is performative speech. Be opened. And the ears and the tongue cannot but obey Jesus, their Lord and Master. Here is a sermon of only one word. I know you're wishfully thinking you'd get one of those from me someday. Not gonna happen. But with this one little powerful word, with this one little one-word sermon, the man who left his home that morning, being pulled along by his friends, not sure where he was going or why, not able to participate in hearing like the rest, not able to ask questions like everyone else, has his ears open to really hear. He has his tongue loosed so that he can confess the truth, speak openly of Christ's righteousness and who he is. He hears the noisy crowd for the first time, but he has always heard that other sermon anyway. He speaks now with understanding and comprehension. He speaks orthodoxy, the text says. He sees more clearly than he has ever seen before, even though the problem wasn't with his eyes. He sees who Jesus really is. This is the one about whom the prophet Isaiah spoke. And this one about whom Isaiah prophesied has now done his work on this man. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute man sing for joy. There can be no doubt about which preacher and which sermon won that day and won that life. But which preacher and sermon is owning this day and your life? The one that relies only on simple performative words from God, from a God that you can't often see and sometimes don't want to hear? Or the sermon that is more tangible to your flesh and appealing to your emotions and to your natural desires? Do you understand where you are? Who is with you? What your ailment really is, where the only solution comes from, how that healing is delivered? Or are your thoughts far from your sin problems in this decaying world, far from this font and pulpit and altar, from Jesus and from his living word? Are you here because you want to see and hear Jesus? Maybe somebody dragged you here, knowing that even if you don't entirely understand, you need what is offered where Jesus is found. But do you believe what Jesus says about your sins and your need for the cross and for a Savior? Or do you struggle with the knowledge that your sins really are that bad, that God really is present in this place to save, to speak a kindly word to you, that his words are powerful, that they are effective beyond sight and understanding, and that they bring salvation? Your struggles may not be as obvious to others as this woman's demon-possessed son was to all who knew her, or this man's broken senses and all who knew him. And God's word may not appear to be nearly as mighty and powerful in our day as it was in those days. But two things remain true. Sin has corrupted the entire creation, and it infects your flesh, whether you have an immediate ailment of that flesh or not. And God's word is just as powerful to give life today as it was in the region of the Decapolis on that day. While others in this room may not know it, and probably shouldn't know it, I have known most of you long enough to know exactly how you struggle, exactly how the devil tempts you to sin, the doubts you have, the fears in your heart, even knowing your very sins. And you have known me long enough to know exactly the same things about me and how I struggle. Isn't that exactly how God intends it? A preacher with his people. One called to speak the word, one called to listen and receive. No one equal or no one different or better in this relationship, but completely equal under God's word of forgiveness. The law of God comes to your ears and it convicts you of your sins and condemns you to a lonely life and eternal death. But then Jesus comes and stands here with you, away from the crowds, away from the other noises, face to face. He knows your fallenness and your sins, and he has prepared another one-word sermon for you to hear today. He stretches out his arms in silence. He allows his hands and his feet to be pierced with the nails, his brow with the thorns. He is lifted up and directs his eyes to heaven, and he sighs, for he knows how serious your needs. He knows that there is no other way that you are going to be saved. He calls upon his Father in heaven as only God can, and he says, "Tetelestai." Perfect passive. It is finished. Your sins are forgiven. Your reasons to fear have all been removed. Your heart of stone has been replaced with a heart of flesh. Your stopped up ears have been opened to hear this word of forgiveness and life. Your eyes, even though you thought you could see before, now they have been opened to see God's glory, the one who shows no preference for money or clothing, the one who forgives the sins of all. You see God's glory in the simplest of things, water, words, and bread and wine. You see His mercy and His love for the world. He is the one that has loosed your tongue to confess that you're a sinner in need of forgiveness. He is the one who now has loosed your tongue to confess His name rightly before the world and to sing His praises. All of that is taking place in this sermon, just as it does each and every week in this place. Jesus encouraged this Gentile woman who came to Him to keep asking, even though He compared her to a little dog, to one who was outside of the kingdom. It was an invitation for her to keep asking Him to hold to His promises. He wanted to bring her into the family, and that's what she wanted too. And it's just what Jesus did. Even the crumbs from Jesus' banquet are really a life-giving meal. And after hearing this word and knowing her daughter had the demon removed, she couldn't go back to that other way of life that got her daughter possessed to begin with. She clung to Jesus instead. Jesus unstopped the man's ear so that he could hear the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ crucified for his sins. He loosed the man's tongue so that he could declare what God in human flesh had done for him. And that man couldn't go back to the way it was before either. Now he couldn't stop talking about Jesus even when Jesus wanted him to. Neither of these individuals deserved Jesus' mercy and love. Neither do you. But it is entirely by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Two different sermons. One leads you to this good news again and again. The other wants you to hear, to see, and to think about anything else. It really is that dramatic a difference. It is that simple. Jesus is the only true God, the one promised by the Father from the very beginning. When He speaks, ears are open, hearts are softened, sins are forgiven. Tongues are set free to confess His name, and real life, life as God designed it to be, is restored. I pray that that is what you have heard and seen again for yourself today. Sermon over. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.